This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
Well, Merry Christmas, Bridgeway. It is so good to be with you tonight. I want to welcome you. It's just great to see everyone here. I want to also take a moment and welcome those of you who are joining us in our live stream, church online, church at home. Again, we couldn't be more grateful that you would tune in and be a part of our Christmas gathering tonight. It's really just great. I got to tell you that this year has been so strange and so difficult. In fact, my friend has been saying not Merry Christmas, but maybe you can kind of go with this. Merry Weird Christmas, because it's just been a strange year. And I got to tell you, it's just good to be together and to spend a few moments tonight just reflecting on the birth of Jesus and what he came and what he could mean to every single person within the sound of my voice. You know, I love this time of year, and yet Christmas always seems to have an added layer of tension with it. I mean, everything seems a little tense, a little busier, a little bit more going on, and even things that shouldn't be sort of an issue become an issue, right? And things become debatable. Like, I don't know if you've found yourself into some of these debates, like, you know the debates this time of year, right? Like, is it Merry Christmas or is it Happy Holidays? Is it poinsettia or is it poinsettia? Like, I never know how to say that word. Like, I never know. Even, like, movies. I love Christmas. I love all the Christmas movies. I'm kind of like the classic Christmas movie guy. I don't like all the Hallmark lovey-dovey Christmas movies, but I want the classics. And yet I'm finding even the classic movies at Christmas time are kind of up for debate as to whether or not they're really Christmas movies. And so I thought we would do something, kind of include the kids for a minute as well. And I'm going to put some movies up on the screen, and I just want to see a show of hands. How many of you would agree that this is a Christmas movie? Now, first one's really simple. Like, right? Like, let's get this. Come on. Rudolph the Red. Yeah, everyone's going to answer it. Definitely a Christmas movie. Definitely. Great animation. Excellent movie. Great flick. How about this one, though? How about this one? How about a Charlie Brown Christmas? Of course. I mean, it's got Christmas in the name. It's got to be a Christmas movie, right? All right, you guys are doing a really good job. How about this next one? Probably not my favorite, but one of my kids' favorites. The Polar Express. Not a little bit cooler crowd towards Polar Express, I got to say. All right, now here, maybe not just for the kids, but maybe this one a little bit more for the adults. How about this? Is Gremlins a Christmas movie? I got it on my list, too. I got it on my list. I mean, it's kind of a freaky Christmas gift, if you want to know the truth, and a little odd, not so cuddly and cute, but definitely, I think, a Christmas movie. Now, here's the one that gets all the debate this time of year. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Oh, I think so, too, right? It takes place on Christmas Eve, and Bruce Willis blowing stuff up. Merry Christmas, right? All right, last one on the list. How about this? Home Alone. Home Alone, I think definitely a Christmas movie as well. In fact, I think this movie says a lot about kind of our Christmas experience. I mean, you know Home Alone, right? I mean, it's a classic movie. Joe Pesci, and of course, the star of the show, little Kevin, played by Macaulay Culkin. And you watch that movie, and Kevin's really kind of a stinker, isn't he? I mean, he's this kid that gets underneath the skin of his parents and his siblings. And so the night before this family is to leave on a big holiday trip over to France, he gets everyone annoyed, and so he has to sleep in the attic, which, of course, is what causes his family to forget him. That's the drama of the movie. And the real kicker is they don't even realize that they've forgotten Kevin until they're halfway on their way to France across the Atlantic. I think the movie is worth watching, if nothing more than the reaction that the mom goes through there. She's kind of got this check down moment. She's knowing she forgot something. She's having this conversation with her husband on the plane. And it's like, did I forget my toothbrush? No, I got that. Did we leave the lights on? No, we shut the lights off. Dear, don't worry about that. Did we leave the garage door open? Is that it? No, it's not that. And then she absolutely just loses her mind, right? And we all know what she says. She screams, Kevin! See, you guys are all movie buffs too. You know, it'd be real easy for a guy like me, a pastor, to come up on Christmas Eve and to say, well, you know, friends, don't be like Kevin's mom and forget the most important thing at Christmas. Don't forget Jesus. But I have actually a lot of respect for you. And in fact, you're here tonight, which means that you haven't forgotten the most important part of Christmas, which is Jesus. In fact, I was thinking about this movie, and what makes this movie so incredible and why it's such a classic is we love watching the adventure that Kevin goes on, right? The mischief and how he takes out the thieves. And then the best part is the reunion that Kevin has with his family. And I believe on this Christmas Eve, what God wants more than anything else for every one of us is to have a reunion with his son, Jesus. And I want to tell you that Christmas is about more than just a cute little baby, 8-pound, 6-ounce, blue-eyed baby Jesus. That this message is one of hope that broke in to the world. At exactly the right time, God broke in so that you and I could have a relationship with him. And it's really amazing to think about that. I mean, just to think about that opportunity that's available to every single one of us. You know, the message of Christmas is this good news. In fact, Pastor Mike read the Christmas story to you, and so I just wanted to highlight a couple of verses that I think are really important that can bring you into this opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus. In fact, I love the story as told kind of through the lens of what the shepherds experienced. Now, the shepherds are, to me, so fascinating in the story of the birth of Jesus because they just were the type of people you would never expect to have heaven open up and announce the birth of God's son. I mean, shepherds were living out in their fields, and they were dirty. They weren't respectable. You would never invite a shepherd over to your house for dinner. And yet God had different plans for how that news would come to them. And in fact, this news gives us kind of an idea of what God has in store. In Luke 2, verse 10, he says, in the next verse, he says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" And I just want to say, I know at Christmas time is for a lot of people a time to come back to the church. And maybe you're here tonight and you haven't always heard good news from the church. And I just want to take a moment on behalf of fellow pastors and church leaders to say that the message of Jesus should be the absolute best, greatest news that you ever hear. That is the message that Jesus has came to deliver. And I know you've heard this story a million times, right? I mean, it's a story of two teenage kids, Mary and Joseph, and they have to make this arduous trip to Bethlehem. It would have been a long journey, and they're just teenagers, right? And they're engaged, they're not married yet, and then they find out Mary is pregnant. And oh, by the way, Joseph's not the father. Like, there's all this doubt and all these questions, and it's just easy to say that they would have been alone in the middle of a really dark world. The Roman Empire, Caesar was in charge. It was literally death by taxes. They would have been scared. They would have been feeling afraid. What would people think of us? And yet God has this intention to bring a story through their life when hope is born. And it's this good news. And it first goes from the shepherds to you and I today. And I find the shepherds so fascinating because they actually take a risk with their lives. They decide to say, you know, we're afraid, but now we must take a step in our lives and let's go see this child that's been born. And we read about this picking back up in verse 16. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen were just as they had been told. Hey, think about this. This is like an amazing story of kind of flipping the script. I mean, think about shepherds for a moment. Just a few hours before, they were probably, you know, watching their animals bed down for the night and laying on a hillside stargazing. And they're in dead-end jobs. Nobody really wants to be around them. And then all of a sudden, God comes into the world through these angels and tells them to go and see this birth. And I don't know about you, but when I kind of get the image of shepherds, I sort of think that they're sort of like, you know, kind of like tough guys, no-nonsense guys. You know, they're not big talkers. They're kind of just like workmen, right? And they just go to work and get their work done. You know, they got F-150 trucks and a gun rack in the back. I mean, that's kind of how I envision these shepherds. And then they have this encounter with Jesus, and it changes them. You wonder what difference is made. You see them now going through town, and they're telling everyone what they had heard and seen. I mean, literally, they're running around. I mean, they're as giddy as a bunch of middle school girls. They cannot get enough of telling people about Jesus. That's what Jesus had meant to them. And see, it becomes kind of the story that continues because these shepherds would experience this, and then they would share this news, and this news would continue to get shared. And Jesus wouldn't always be a baby. He would grow into a child and then a young adult and then a man. And at the age of 30, Jesus would enter into ministry and he would begin to, in the Roman Empire, talk about the kingdom of God. And that kind of ruffled some feathers with some people. But I was thinking this week about how Jesus so often would talk about these shepherds. When you think about it, Jesus would often relate his mission of why he came into the world to what these shepherds did when they came and visited him on that first night. In fact, it's kind of interesting if you start to think of all the times and all the places in the Bible that Jesus mentions himself being a shepherd, not just any ordinary shepherd, but a good shepherd. In fact, John 10, verse 14, these are the red letters. This is Jesus' own words. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." I am the good shepherd. I think about this, and I don't think that Jesus is just sort of elevating the vocation of a professional sheepherder. What Jesus is doing is he's actually saying something about this undesirable job of tending sheep and his mission and why he's come into the world. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Maybe the most important word in that entire verse is that little word, know. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. In fact, repeats it twice, and we hear that word know, and we maybe get some sort of idea in our head, because the word know is where we get the word knowledge from. And we think of knowledge, and of course, we think of facts and figures and data points, right? Like, I know someone because I know their street address, and I know how many kids are in their family, and I know they like pizza on Friday nights. Like, I really, really know that person well. And this word know in the Greek language is actually much richer. It actually means to know something intimately and experientially. That Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep in an experiential sort of way. And they can know me in an experiential way as well. In case you missed it in this whole story, Jesus is the shepherd and those who follow him are his sheep. Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here tonight on Christmas Eve, and I'm going to say that if you're a follower of Jesus, you probably didn't wake up this morning and think, oh, goody, I'm so glad that I am a sheep. In fact, of all the animals in the animal kingdom, and think about it, is sheep even on your short list? I don't know about you, but like, if I have to pick an animal, like, it's probably not going to be a sheep. Like, bear, that would be kind of cool, like strong and sort of ferocious, or gazelle, right? I mean, sleek and fast. But no, Jesus says we're his sheep. In fact, I was looking at this and I just couldn't believe how many times the word sheep is mentioned in the Bible. And Jesus is referring to us as his sheep. Sheep over and over. In fact, I did a little tally. I was looking at all the animals in the Bible and did a little research. And in fact, sheep are mentioned the most. But second would be cattle, cows. Cows are mentioned 79 times in the Bible. Dogs, I love dogs. Dogs are mentioned 28 times in the Bible. The eagle is mentioned 21 times. Some of you probably know where I'm going with this, right? You want to guess? You want to know how many times the Bible mentions cats? Zero. Zilch. It's almost as if God is admitting he made a mistake and he regrets it. I'm just saying that tonight. That's truth on Christmas Eve. I'm just saying. But here we have this idea that we are sheep. Sheep are mentioned over 200 times, and I think it tells us something really deep about the human experience. Because unlike any other animal, and like you and like me, we need protection, and we need guidance, and we need care, and we need a shepherd that will bring us back into the fold when we get off track. In fact, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah would say these words about how we really live. He would say, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Now you might push back on that tonight and say, you know, I haven't strayed, I haven't gone anywhere, and yet Jesus is this invitation of peace. And maybe you think for a few moments, well, have I wandered from the peace that God offers in Jesus? Have I wandered from peace into maybe areas of worry and areas of being overstressed or feeling hurried or living without margin or worrying about what other people think? Have I wandered from peace and have I gone astray in that way? Have I flirted with temptation and addiction and neglect of God? And the truth is tonight that everybody needs a shepherd. And a shepherd is anyone or anything that you put your trust in. And the question becomes that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we all will, who will save you? And the good news of Christmas is that Jesus wants to be your shepherd. If you let him, he'll guide you. He'll lead you. In fact, this shepherd will lead you through pastures and deep valleys and over mountaintops. This shepherd will lead you through pandemics and seasons of grief and loneliness and self-doubt. This is the good shepherd's invitation for every single person. Jesus wants to be your shepherd. In fact, Jesus promises that you will follow him, and if you wander, that he'll leave the 99 to come after just you. I mean, can you imagine that? This is a picture of a God who is in a relentless pursuit of those that he loves, and that's you. And he gives us this opportunity to not only know him, but to follow him. In fact, he says these beautiful words in John 3. He says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You think about that. You think of all the people, all unique in how God has designed them, and yet he knows every single person by name. He knows you for who you are. He knows you as you walked in here tonight with all that you thought was maybe going good in your life and everything that you thought was bad. He knows you for all of the doubt you have, for all of the shame, for all of the regret. Every thought, every fiber of your being, God knows you. And he wants you to know, this good shepherd wants you to know, that tonight on this Christmas Eve, that you are fully known and that you are deeply loved. That is the message of Christmas. He loves you so much that the good shepherd would lay down his life for every single person, for you. And that's the good news, that God and sinner can be reconciled this Christmas. You can ask him into your heart and he can give you a fresh start. God loves to do that at any point, to give you a fresh start. And so I just want to pray for us tonight as we head into a time of singing and reflecting and of lighting these candles. You know, the Bible says that we are to be a light into the world, and we're going to come to a point in the song Silent Night where we're just going to have an opportunity, and if you're ready and if you're willing, just to simply lift your candle up and to be that light of Jesus into the world. But I want to pray for you, so if you would bow your head and if you would pray with me, please. God, we just pause in this moment, in this peaceful Christmas Eve. And God, I believe that you're speaking to each one of us, to the depths of our heart. And if there's anyone here tonight that just simply would like to tell Jesus right now, Jesus, I'd like you to be the shepherd of my life. I'd like you to forgive me of all of my debt, all of my error, all of my wrong, and to give me a personal relationship with you as my shepherd. And that brings this hope of a life now and a life into eternity, because you'll never leave us. I believe there are some here tonight that need to make a decision with their life, to just simply say, Jesus, I want to let you in and to take full control. Maybe you're here tonight and you've walked with Jesus for a long time, and yet if you're honest and if you look at your life, you know there's been areas and ways in which you've strayed. And on this Christmas Eve, God wants more than anything else to shepherd your heart again. And so just simply in these moments, in the quietness of this night, just maybe whisper these words to Jesus. These aren't all the words that you and Jesus should share, but just simply say to him, Jesus, I give you my life. Just whisper that to him. Jesus, I give you my life. And in return, you promise to give me life. God, we're thankful for this gift, and we want to sing and tell the whole world about this love and this grace that comes from one source. And so we thank you for that. God, we're going to lift this light up to you and to be a light not just here, but into all the places that you take us. That's our hope. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.